good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post at the Minnesota State Fair, starting Thursday, August 25th through Monday, September 5th.
Yes, sirree. Hey, so Wendy's off camera tonight because she was food poisoned.
No, I wasn't food poisoned. I actually got my second shingles vaccine yesterday, and the first one went okay.
Yeah,
and they tell you from the second one you might feel a little.
No, you had an animal in your salad today.
Yeah, I did have a little animal in my salad today. We won't say where the salad was from.
Yeah,
but this place offers organic, fresh ingredients with no pesticides or anything like that. So when I got my salad today,
it was looking at you.
It was looking at me. It had a little tiny
antennas.
Baby. Like a little snail on the lettuce.
What was it called?
It was a slug.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little slug. A little teeny bitty one.
You would have got some protein. Being a vegan, you need your protein.
And I called
that's an animal product.
I know. So I called the server over, and she was really shocked to see it. But my first reaction was, don't kill it.
She was with you.
So she brought it in to show the manager and the chef. And put it in. They had very pretty flower beds over there. So then she just put it in the flower bed, and I ate something different for.
We watched her put it in there.
Yeah, but I never had a little baby snail in my salad before, so that's what happened. That's not why I don't feel good though. So I'm just a little under the weather. I just got out of bed, so my camera's off in case anybody's wondering where I am.
So that's breaking news, and I see state senators on, and I think she has a new grandbaby too. We'll have to talk to her about State Senator Mary Kunish is going to be on in the next segment. But that's now that we had that breaking news about Wendy. Let's move to Ogama with news you don't hear anywhere else all over Turtle Island with breaking news and updated news. And I hope you're going to talk about Jim Thorpe because that's amazing. Welcome, Ogama.
You know, I wasn't planning on talking about Jim Thorpe. What do I need to know about Jim Thorpe, Robert?
All his medals and records were put back in place finally after 112 years when they took away his gold medals. And he was probably the greatest athlete in the United States the first half century. He had won the decathlon. People tried to steal his shoes. He had to pull shoes out of the trash in order to win the race. And so he was probably the number one athlete the first century. And then they found out that he played semi-pro baseball, and they took away all his medals. And now, of course, you know, all the Olympians are professionals now and always kind of have been paid. But he played baseball, which is not even what he was in the Olympics for. He was a decathlon. So he was the greatest athlete, and he finally got his medals returned, I do believe today or yesterday. But it's totally breaking news all over my Facebook and
oh, yeah. See, no, I missed it because I was not on my Facebook or any other social media my whole second half of the day today. But I just pulled up an article from NPR, and it said that he has been reinstated as the sole winner of the 1912 Olympic pentathlon and decathlon in Stockholm. And it was about 110 years after being stripped from the medals, but it also says that 29 years after his death in 1982, the Olympic Committee gave duplicate gold medals to his family, but the Olympic records were never reinstated, and nor was his status as the gold medalist of the two events. And my understanding, and I read a story about this a while back, was that he didn't know what was really happening to him. He was called into like a hotel room with some of the Olympic committees, and they basically stripped his medal from him and told him to leave and didn't really explain to him what was happening or why. And they found out about it when he got back to the States later, that what had happened was not really legal, basically. So I'm glad to see that this is happening, and thank you for bringing it up, Robert, because I missed it today. It's been a busy Friday for me, but
no.
The breaking news that I wanted to talk about today was actually it's breaking news from yesterday, and I just barely touched on it yesterday because with Robert Lilligren, we had so much other stuff we were talking about yesterday. But water protector Shanai Matson was acquitted yesterday of a gross misdemeanor. She was charged with aiding and abetting trespass on a critical public service facilities. And basically, she was charged with this by mail after police surveilled her personal Facebook page, where she made comments about opposing Line 3 construction and supporting protesters along the pipeline. And the prosecution only called two police officers, before Matson's attorney called for a dismissal. And District 9 Judge Leslie Metzen of Aiken County acquitted her immediately because they basically said there was not enough evidence. And that Shanai made a statement saying the charges were bogus, that they didn't have the evidence to support the offense. And that was Kushner, who's a civil rights attorney based in the Twin Cities. And the prosecution failed in its attempt to criminalize Shanai's use of free speech and to create guilt by association. So this is a pretty landmark case for people who fought in the Line 3 pipeline construction, because I do believe Shanai was charged by association, and there are a few others who have charges that they suspect were probably sent this way as well. The other thing I want to remind people about is that next week in Wadena County, July 19th, there is going to be a Flood the Courts event to support a universally beloved water protector, which I will not tell you exactly who it is, but you might be able to guess. So that's again July 19th at Wadena County Courthouse at 3 p.m. for the contested omnibus hearing, and 1:30 p.m. they're going to have a picnic. So that's going to be super exciting. Picnic Palooza, 1:30 p.m. Wadena County Courthouse. Other events that are coming up that I want to make sure people know about is this weekend is the Shell River Reunion, July 15th through 17th at Shell City Campground at Huntersville State Forest in Monaga, Minnesota. This is put on by the Shell River Alliance to have everybody gather and talk about ways that we can protect water and do other things that benefit our water in Minnesota. And I want to make sure you all are saving the date for awesome events that are coming up here on September 4th. This is going to be the next Water is Life Festival at Duluth Bayfront Festival Park in Duluth, Minnesota. Headlining artists is going to be Ani DeFranco, the Indigo Girls, Allison Russell. And then there's also going to be crowd favorites such as Keith Sokola, David Huckfeldt, Annie Humphrey, and more. And there's more artists who are going to be announced. So that is really exciting. Tickets are available at first-avenue.com. Tickets are $40. And it is sponsored by The Current and First Avenue and 7th Street Entry. And another great event that's coming up, we talked about this a little bit with Robert Lilligren, September 9th is the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center Red Dress Gala on September 9th, 2022 at the Intercontinental Riverfront Hotel in St. Paul. And a quick note here, the Red Cloud Renewable Tatanka Meat Distribution from Sikandru Food Sovereignty has completed their first Tatanka harvest, or buffalo harvest of the season, and they are going to be distributing buffalo meat to families at no cost at the harvest market July 13th, 14th, and 15th. I'm sorry, this was today, so that happened today. So congratulations to everybody in that area.
Nice. Hey, thanks, Ogimo, with the news. It's Friday. It's Fun Fact Friday. But first, we're going to have State Senator of Minnesota, Mary Kunish. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Don't fall for vaccine misinformation. Local medical professionals are available to answer any of your questions. Initial shots and boosters are safe for people who are pregnant and even young children. Right now, vaccines are available for anyone over 6 months of age, while boosters are available for anyone over the age of 5. This message brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Well, we have State Senator Mary Kunish, and I do believe I saw on Facebook you are a grandmother again. Is that correct? Oh, my God.
Yes. I have my second granddaughter. Her name is Sylvia Noor, and she's about 2 weeks old.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. We're pretty excited. Always in the world, right?
Yeah.
I got to put the applause up right now. Okay.
And that's great because they're so close in age, the two little cousins. So that's really cute. Yeah.
Wow,
they're about 9 months. And it's so funny, you know, the older one who's just 9 months old, when the new baby came home and we put them next to each other, and you know, it's so amazing when you see how teeny tiny they are, and then within 9 months how much they change. And so we're really, thank you, Alice. We're really super excited to grow this family of ours.
Yeah, I know, it's funny how they change. And one of our goddaughters, it was a friend of ours' daughter, she came out with like a total pixie haircut when she was born. And then as she got older,
This one has a lot of hair. She's got a lot of hair, and she's quite dark complected, really brown eyes, where the other one looks just like her dad. She's right here. and she's got like strawberry blonde hair and these blue green eyes that change all the time and super fair. So they're going to be kind of contrasting cousins, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to get too deep in this, but Mary, I had blonde hair until I was 7, like white blonde hair. And then I guess I just morphed into some ugly kid after that. But I was really cute as a baby.
Well, I did too. I had really light colored hair. And by the time I was in first grade, if you see my first grade picture, I had like clear and orange hair. And then it just has progressively gotten darker as I get older. And now, of course, it needs a little bit of help here and there. But yeah, that's, I don't know. We'll see what this one does. Yeah.
Well, Ogama is coming in town for on Sunday, Ogama, and State Senator, I don't know, are you going to be at the Capitol?
Yes, absolutely. That is our big rally for reproductive rights and to address the issues around the reversal of women having the rights to seek an abortion when they so choose.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, I like to frame it, too, as like, not only just the whole abortion situation, it's taking away rights from 51% of the nation's population. I mean, yeah. That's talk real here, right? Yeah. Oh, she's waving. That's, she can wave at that.
And she loves to be on Zooms. So if she sees me talking on the computer, she's crazy. yes. How do you do that? How do you take away those kind of civil human rights after they've already been determined to be the right of an individual? And so we at the Capitol are you know, doing the work that we need to do to ensure that this is not going to happen in Minnesota. I'm the co-chair of the Reproductive Freedom Caucus in the state Senate. So on the DFL side, and so we're really adamant about doing the work that we need to do to ensure those rights are not removed to those in Minnesota. And then those that do come to Minnesota for their care are not treated in any way that would cause them any legal issues or give them any kind of recourse back in their own states.
Exactly. And I know across Turtle Island, sovereign nations are getting ready to assist our women in their medical needs. And so that's exciting, too. There's going to be more about that as time goes on. But, you know, we're a sovereign nation and we can do what we want to do as long as it doesn't mess with federal monies that we get from the nation. So
yeah. They have to be very careful that they aren't violating any of the federal access. But one good thing that happened here in Minnesota is that Ramsey County judge ruled that some of our state laws restricting abortion access, so the ones that I talked about last week, that those are in violation and unconstitutional. Judge Thomas Gillian handed down a ruling just this past Monday that strikes down all of those state laws that we talked about last week. So that 24-hour waiting period and parent notification for those under 18, that only physicians perform abortions and that abortions are performed after the first trimester must be performed in a hospital. So those, he ruled those abortion laws that they violate the right to privacy because they infringe upon the fundamental rights under the Minnesota Constitution to access abortion care and not withstand strict scrutiny. So we were really excited about that. And, with those bans in half of our country ready to take effect in the next coming weeks and months, it's more important than ever to leverage those protections in our state constitution. And that's what we're doing.
Well, Clarence Thomas has also mentioned right after that he's coming after gay marriage. They're coming after the pill, the abortion pill, Wendy. And we're not that far behind with ICWA, I'll tell you that right now. So this should be very red alert to everybody all over Turtle Island and get our native relatives out there and vote like we did the last cycle.
Yeah, we say this is the election of a lifetime, this is more urgent than ever before, but really and truly, in the last couple of elections, things have mounted to a point where we just have to make sure that we are putting people in the right place to make those decisions that are going to continue to, uphold our civil rights, our human rights Yeah.
Right. How in the heck, and I'm throwing this out to Wendy too, how in the heck can laws that our grandparents fought for, we fought for as young voters, start to be taken away by the religious right? Let's get real. This Republican Party is infiltrated by religion, and whatever happened to separating church and state? This is, and I'll throw guns in there too, Mary.
Yep, you're absolutely right. You know, the parameters that those founding fathers or the, you know, subsequent legislators put in there to safeguard the rights and to separate our, you know, religion and government, you know, pretty much blown out. They're just gone. And you get some guys in there that are just going to do what they want to do, and that's all there is to it.
Ogama.
The one that I seen the other day said the founding fathers would be saying, "What do you mean there are Catholics in the Supreme Court?" Like, that was not, you can't argue that this is what the founding fathers wanted and then turn around and cherry pick what you think it was. And again, we have to keep religion out of politics.
Yeah.
And the gun rule, come on. That was made when there was muskets, and it takes you 3 minutes to load a gun. Not 3 minutes to shoot off 300 bullets of blowing people up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, there goes baby.
I wanted to get back to your discussion about Jim Thorpe, because that is, I think, incredible, incredible news for Indian country, and, you know, the recognition of all of those human rights that were destroyed or removed or taken away from those that really did earn it. And like you, Robert, I had a lot of folks contact me about that. And I just want to say that I'm really excited by the fact that that this happened, because I have a family connection to Jim Thorpe. My great aunt was out at the Carlisle School, Carlisle Industrial School, in Pennsylvania, when Jim Thorpe was out there.
And she
ended up out there when she was 9 years old, and she didn't go back home until she was 21.
Whoa.
And the story goes that years later, she was at a meeting of the National Congress of the American Indians, because she went on to become the first woman chair of the Standing Rock Nation. Oh. So she was at the National Congress of American Indians, and there were a bunch of Carlisle graduates that were there, and Jim Thorpe was there and went to her and pointed to her saying, "You taught me how to dance, didn't you?" And She, you know, yes, she remembered that. And so in that very moment, he pulled her up on her feet and danced with her to prove that he hadn't forgot what she taught him. And that was the story. It's written all over the place. So I'm always kind of proud to share that story.
That's awesome. Hey, Mary, can you hold on for another segment with us?
You bet.
Awesome. Hey, we're with State Senator and Grandbaby, and we'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM 950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM 950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Tom Hartman here, and you can catch the Tom Hartman Show during your lunch break from 11 to 2 every weekday right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Home ownership is one of the biggest financial commitments most of us ever make, so why not keep informed? Tune in each week, Sundays starting at noon, to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate, here on AM 950. We will keep you up to date with Twin Cities real estate market trends, forecasts, tips for buying and selling, and much more. If you missed last week's show, you can catch us online anytime at TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res. Hot July days are best enjoyed with family and friends at the backyard barbecue with your favorite summer foods. But before you know it, you've got those sticky pop spills and barbecue stains all over the place. Lucky for you, Zero Res can get those sweet sticky messes out of your home with no problem. Zero Res has your back on carpet, tile, area rug, and upholstery cleanings, and their experienced technicians know the best care for each of the unique surfaces in your home. And don't forget about your air ducts. If they're dirty, your indoor air quality suffers. Trust the cleaning heroes at Zero Res to safely clean years of built-up dust and gunk out of your air ducts as your air conditioner swirls through the summer. Schedule your summer cleaning today at ZeroResMinnesota.com with the AM 950 special to get three rooms of carpet clean starting at just $129 and take $100 off any air duct cleaning service. Backward or forward spells the same. Zero Res.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 67, Saturday sunny with a high near 84, and Sunday sunny with a high around 89. Nightingale at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis is your cozy neighborhood bar and restaurant. Come in for dinner and drinks. Favorites include the pan-roasted halibut and famous Nightingale burger and fries, while for dessert, make sure you check out the chocolate pot de creme. Open daily 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. with dinner until midnight. More at nightingalempls.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
That always cracks me up. Hey, we're here with State Senator of Minnesota, Mary Kunish, and we were talking a little, well, we were talking a lot of stuff, but we were ending that last segment talking about her Jim Thorpe connection with her grandmother, and that was a really cool story. So, how is campaigning going? And I know we've started Rock the Vote Native Style on Tuesdays, Mary. I want to also give an opportunity for you, because you're a regular on Friday, to let everybody know how they can help your campaign and also how they can donate. So I would love if you could just let people know right now about that.
Well, I'd love to. But Robert, I looked into it, and I probably shouldn't be I probably should not campaign on the radio today. You can ask me questions about campaigns in general, but unless you are going to invite now this is a good lesson for others that are out on the radio or doing videos or things like that. In Minnesota, we have to be very careful because of campaign laws. And maybe you want to do this, but in order for me to do any of my campaign discussion, on air, you would have to invite the person that is running against me to have equal airtime. So,
they're always invited. Whenever we have a politician on, it's up to them to reach out, not us to reach out to them. So yeah, we welcome any Republican to come on, because we'll rip them a new one. We won't be throwing softball pitches to them. So that's always been open from day one. So we do rock the vote on Tuesdays, and we can have Republicans can reach out and come on. But we have yet in the 5.5 years had one Republican want. Well, we had one, I think one in the very beginning, but yeah. I don't think they listened to this
station. Well, I can always pay you a fee, and then we can do a little segment on that. But for now, I think we better be careful and just know that I am running for re-election in Minnesota Senate, and hopefully we'll be around to do that for the next 4 years.
Yep, and that sounds good. So let's talk a little bit about your past work here with this last session. Minnesota had, 11 billion dollars to help people with, and the other party, the Republicans, didn't see fit to help people. They wanted to help businesses, and it seems like they're never ever for anything. They're only against things. So how do you maneuver around that, especially with the split? We have Democrats that are running the House, and we have the Senate, which we're a few votes away from, but the Republicans are running, and then we have a Democratic governor.
Yeah, I think we're the one of maybe two legislators in the states that have that split legislature. And so it's very difficult, to tell you the truth. If we had, more issues that we could agree on, but that was really a tough session, because Minnesota has a surplus, and our Republican counterparts agreed on a budget number that we were going to work with, that included some of those dollars. And then by the time the end of the session came around, they just wouldn't, in the Senate, they wouldn't pass those final bills to get that stuff going. So we didn't get a bonding bill in that helps with our infrastructure and transportation and roads and streets. We didn't get an education bill through. That education bill was, one of the most dismal things I've ever seen or proposed. Our Republican chair wanted to spend $3 million on a literacy program and a little bit of money towards mental health or something. But, when we had billions of dollars to spend and they didn't, it was really extremely frustrating. And it just, it goes to show how divisive politics have become.
Mary, yeah, I have a quick question. Was that the same bill that you were talking about earlier in this year, where they proposed, you said it was something with a tutoring program, but also private schools getting the same money? Is that in the same funding?
Not for that specific thing, but, there's always a big push for what they call vouchers. Let's call it vouchers. And the Minnesota Constitution says that public tax dollars stay in public schools and do not go to parochial private schools. And so there are taxpayers that would like to have a break and get that money and use it for their private schools or other forms of education. And, we're following the Constitution, and we had to fight on that again this session. And when there was a bill coming from our Republicans that sort of sideways allows those folks to get at those public dollars that go to the public school system. I mean, I believe in choice. I believe every parent can choose where their kids go to school, if they want to homeschool them, any of that. But when you decide not to send your kids to public schools, and I'm saying that as a person that actually went to parochial Catholic elementary, high school, and college. I mean, it was hard, but we ended up paying for those things. My kids went to their local parochial school when they were in elementary school, and those are the choices that we made. And what happens is that when families do decide to leave the public school, and they'll say, well, the classes are too big, they can't read, there's, you know, they have all these problems with the public school. But every time you take a kid out of the public school system, you're taking dollars out of the public schools. So charter schools, which are even kind of our public school, are considered public schools, but again, they take those dollars out of our established public schools.
You know, being a former educator too, I just got to tell you this too, Marion. You probably remember this. People from all over the country used to come and see how we taught people. And then this slow erosion of finances going into our schools through whatever means, we have a million charter schools now and really weakened the public school system. And now the Republicans really want to put it to us next, because they're not going to take every kid that we have. We, you know, when I was teaching, these kids didn't care what grade they had. They were wondering where the heck they were going to sleep that night. And you think the parochial schools and charter schools are going to take kids like that? You know, they're going to pick and choose. And what's going to happen is it's going to lower the services even more of our public schools. Because, again, we were the shining light at one time 20-some years ago. And now, you know, I know because of this funding, the school that I used to teach at, there's 23 less teachers out of, you know, because of the funding being taken away. And also lower enrollment because of what happens is, you know, if things are, our services are down in our public schools, people do choose other things.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Yeah, it is. And it, but it's a fight. I mean, let's be frank about this. These schools in the suburbs have are castles, and you come into the Twin Cities and we have 40, 50 year old buildings with no air conditioning. And also our students don't have what they need. And what they need is not new teachers that are less qualified. They need to support the teachers that are there with smaller classrooms, which is money, which is things that are just ridiculous. I walk into a science class that has 45 kids. How in the heck are you going to teach science? How are you going to teach anything with that amount of kids?
Yeah.
The thing that baffles me about the whole public school argument, like Mary was talking about, is, oh, you want to complain that the class sizes are too large or that there's trouble with reading in the children's and this and that. Well, with every other issue, you go and you vote for things that would change that. And you're here complaining about the public school system, but refusing to put your vote where your mouth is and vote for people who are going to put funding into the public school system so that your kids are going to have access to those. Instead of pulling your child out and going, oh, well, I can't send them there. It's not good enough. You need to make it good enough. You need to have that conviction to say, I want my community school to be among the best schools, and stop with this whole, you know, oh, well, private schools are better argument. You know, it doesn't really work that way. With every other issue, you take it that way.
Absolutely. I mean, we actually have to go back to like the Pawlentia administration. I remember when I taught in North Minneapolis, and it was great. We had money. There was a legislative mandated manageable class size. But if we go back to the Pawlenty administration, that's when the Republican-led administration balanced our state budget on the back of the schools and the students. Right. In order to be fiscally responsible. And under that, I don't know if I want to call it leadership, those schools, that's when they started to reward funding to the schools, pay for progress, they called it. So they punished communities with low property tax bases from the state because they didn't have as much money to put into their schools. And so they didn't have state of the art. They couldn't attract all the best teachers. And we're still playing catch up. I mean, they literally would take the education budget and not put it out to the schools. They held on to it so that it looked like he was balancing the budget. And that continued, you know, yep. We're still trying to catch up with that.
Exactly. Well, thanks for coming by, State Senator Mary Kunish, and also congratulations on your two grandbabies. And thank you so much, Pinigigi, for doing the work of for our people and doing the right thing. I really appreciate you stopping in and letting loose in what's happening, because we all need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office, but we above all need to get out and rock the vote. So thank you so much for being on.
Absolutely.
We'll see you. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, a sacred animal section with Wendy Pilot.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
COVID levels may be falling, but the virus is still around. Stay healthy and up to date on your COVID vaccinations and boosters. Right now, everyone 6 months and older is eligible to get a vaccination, while everyone 5 and up is eligible for their booster shot. Plus, you're eligible for a second booster if you're over 50 and received an initial booster dose at least 4 months ago. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov. This message brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, I want to introduce my office. Awesome. Check. Are we live? I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many years. And for the past 5.5 years, she's been talking about our sacred animals, and which are our relatives. And thank you, Wendy. I've learned so much. And take it away.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. As everyone knows, I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States. And I work
food
on
poison.
I know I work on animal issues at the local and state level. I just want to put this out there right now that the Humane Society of the United States just obtained 4,000 beagles that were rescued from
the University of Minnesota, as far as we know, right?
No, it was a specific lab.
No, but I mean, the U of M has beagles.
I don't know if they do or not, for sure.
They used to.
I don't know. I don't know that. I can't say whether I do know that or not.
Oh, that's right. We're on the air. And...
Yeah, so if you're looking for a beagle, you could contact the Humane Society of the United States. And these dogs were bred and bred in a facility that they sell to laboratories for tests, all kinds of different testing. So they are available. But today's a fun Friday, and I just wanted to have some facts here for you, which I do.
Ooh.
According to the National Ocean Service, only 1 in 1,000 sea turtles born make it to adulthood. This is due to the fact that the beach hatchlings have to escape natural predators such as birds, crabs, and raccoons just to make it into the water. And once at sea, are other predators, right? Such as seabirds and fish. So only 1 out of 1,000. Sea turtles born make it to adulthood. That's
wow.
That's unbelievable.
That makes me sad, Wendy. Making me sad with the baby.
I know.
Isn't this happy Friday?
Well,
what happened?
Okay.
All right, she's food
yes,
poisoned.
There are acceptable levels of ground up insects in coffee
what?
Tins.
What?
The U.S. Food what? And Drug Administration allows coffee beans to contain up to 10% insect filth and insects. This means you might be having cockroaches or beetles with your morning cup of Joe.
That's cool. I wonder if Omami has that, Wendy.
Well, Omami.
Yeah.
Is a restaurant here in Minneapolis.
Award-winning.
Award-winning by the sous chef. And I was actually there last night. A lot of their salads have crickets. And
crickets, yeah.
Crickets in it.
A lot
yeah,
of protein.
Of course, I got my...
That isn't vegan, though.
I don't do crickets, yeah.
Right.
I don't do crickets. But I did have a snail today in my salad.
You didn't eat him, though.
A little snail. No, I put him... Oh. I gave him... So he went to the...
Heaven.
He went to the little
forest in the back patio.
Patio that has plants and stuff. According to the American Kennel Club, the reason why dogs like squeaky toys so much is related to their hunting instincts. That is, the high-pitched noises of the toys may remind them of frightened or injured prey.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Another fun fact.
That's another
first
fun
the baby
fact.
Sea turtles, and now your puppy is trying to murder.
This is kind of a sad fun fact. This is another sad one.
The dog looks sad, too. Look at that little rubby ducky.
The next one is nicknamed the loneliest whale in the world. There is a whale that can't communicate with other whales because it sings at an unusual frequency.
Okay, when did you get
Wendy,
all
are
these?
You sad? Do we need to talk about things?
Because I had my second shingles vaccine yesterday and I'm feeling a little under the weather today, although
oh
I know
God,
that I'm having a good immune immune response, so that's what's making me happy about
but
that.
But your segment is
known
like
as
a
52 donor. Known as 52 blue, there is a whale that only sings at an unusual frequency of 52 hertz, which other whales can't recognize. Although its migration patterns resemble the blue whale and the fin whales, researchers believe it might be completely new species or a blue whale hybrid. I know. It's pretty sad, right?
Yeah. Okay, what's the next sad fun fact?
This one's really gross.
Oh, my God.
Okay, let me see what this one's going to say. Female sharks have 2 wombs and conceive around 6 embryos in each one at once. But as soon as the oldest embryo in the womb develops eyes and teeth, it hunts and eats its siblings.
Oh my God.
As a result, sharks only give birth to 2 pups each time.
You know, this isn't going to be part of the best of Native Roots Radio. I just want to throw that to you, Wendy. My goodness.
I know, this
and then
is...
we got a lawnmower going on.
I know, we do have a lawnmower going. Well, what other fun fact can I give? Okay, as reported by The Guardian, 7,000 tigers live in captivity in the United States, while there are less than 4,000 wild tigers worldwide. Besides, out of those 7,000, only 6% of these animals are actually housed in approved facilities by the U.S. Association of Zoos and Aquariums.
So can we change this to Debbie Downer segment on Fridays?
Friday Debbie Downer.
Wow.
You know what?
Bad animal facts with Wendy.
We have 3 more minutes of this.
I don't even know if I have 3 minutes left of material, so you'll have to help me out here. Maybe Ogama can sing
or something.
I got something. Don't worry.
All right. Aggressive and violent.
What the?
Male chimpanzees.
I can't get over the squeaky animals.
One another over territorial disputes. The Gombe chimpanzee war, for example, was a conflict between two communities of chimpanzees in Tanzania, Gombe Stream National Park, which lasted 4 years. So the chimpanzees were at war for 4 years.
What the? I still can't get over the dogs are chewing on animals because they squeak.
The toys.
Because it's like, hey, when we kill some bird that squeaks or something, that's fun. That's in my DNA. Give me that.
Art Antica smells like penguin poop. Although ice and snow have no scent, Antarctica has a very interesting smell. Ecologist Steph Borkhorst describes his experience in the continent. The first thing you notice is the smell. You're squishing through puddles of what you think is mud, but it's actually just poo. And that produces that really strong ammonia smell you could smell from miles away.
Well, that was a reasonable one. That was nice.
I have a friend.
I'm old. I can't smell anything anymore.
I have a friend who went to Antarctica and said that it smelled.
Oh, yeah.
Unlike mosquitoes, butterflies can't break skin and blood capillaries with their mouth to drink blood. However, if offered some blood, butterflies will happily drink it. These insects need minerals that can be found in urine, tears, sweat, and blood. So they'll drink any of these liquids in order to feed
vampires.
Themselves.
They're vampires.
Yeah, they will drink urine, tears, sweat, and blood.
Is the show over yet?
I have a cousin who's dreadfully terrified of butterflies and has been since he was a small child, and I understand why now.
Butterflies, a freedom fly. Fly away.
We only know 10% of living species in the ocean. Although the ocean comprises of over 70% of the Earth's surface, scientists have only explored 10% of it. There are a few reasons why we don't know what creatures live in the ocean. The deep ocean is characterized by freezing cold temperatures, crushing amounts of pressure, and no visibility.
God, what a downer.
It's the abyss.
Thank you for...
Happy Friday, everyone.
Oh, my God. We need to resist the best and do some happy...
I know. All right. I'll be careful next time.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Thank you, State Senator Mary Kunish, Ogama for the news, and I'm not going to thank you this time. I'm going to say...
Thank you for my depressing Fact Friday.
We'll see you Fact Friday. Monday.
Have a great weekend. See you Monday.